It's a new year and time to kick anxiety out into the cold and snuggle in for a night of girl talk and encouragement. Join us for a Love Life Girls Night In with Joyce, a live streaming event featuring worship with Katie and Brian Torwalt, a lively talk it out discussion with guest Love McPherson, and Joyce teaching us how to tackle anxiety head on. Friday, January 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Call your girlfriends and register today at joycemeyer.org/livestream.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Feeling sorry for yourself is just a waste of time. And I don't mean that like I don't care that you're hurting, but I've been there, done that. I wasted years sitting around feeling sorry for myself, and God finally said, you can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both, so take your pick. There's four types of hearts that he's talking about, four kinds of soil. Well, the good soil is very easy to understand. That's not hard. That's the person who sits here, and I mean, man, they're focused. They get it. They're taking a few notes. They're going to go home. They're going to study this thing until it becomes a reality in their life. They're going to have a harvest. And I know somebody's thinking, well, why some 30? Why some 60? Why some 100? I don't know. Yeah. Haven't figured that out myself yet. So I could give you a good guess. It probably has something to do with just how obedient they are and how they live their life and so on and so forth. But hey, I'd rather have a 30-fold harvest than to have no harvest, wouldn't you? But the heart that I want to talk to you probably about the most, and then I'll mention the other two, is the first one, which is where the seed was scattered on the ground and Satan came immediately and stole what was sown. Before it ever even had a chance to begin to take root, he stole it. And that actually is a hard heart. Do you know that you can have a hard heart and not even know that you have a hard heart? But if you have a hard heart, you won't absorb the word of God, or there will at least be parts of it. Let's just say, for example, that, I don't know, you've heard things or had a bad experience with maybe giving money into a church or an organization that you found out later either stole or misused your money, and so now you've got an attitude, I'm not giving my money to those people. Just not doing it. Well, you're the one that gets hurt by that, not somebody else. And so people who have a hard heart about stuff like that, they don't want to hear teaching on giving. It irritates them if they hear teaching on giving. But learning how to be a giver is one of the greatest things in the world that we can learn. And I'll be honest with you, most preachers don't want to do much teaching today on giving because of the attitude that the people have. You can see the mood change when you start talking about giving. What causes a hard heart? Well, there's a whole bunch of things, but a legalistic rule keeper, the Pharisees, boy, they've got hard hearts. They know all the rules and regulations, but they won't give anybody mercy. Judgmental, they judge everything. They're right and everybody else in the world is wrong. In Acts 28, 26 and 27, it says, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, hard. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see and hear and understand, and I would heal them. I had a hard heart at one time because of the abuse I went through in my childhood. And when you have a hard heart, there's bitterness in there. There's resentment. You have a very difficult time. It even aggravates you if people tell you you can have a better life. You're sour and you want everybody else around you to be sour too. I can actually remember when Dave's joy used to make me aggravated. Because I'd had so much hurt in my life. And I was kind of like jealous of people who had had these nice little lives. And, you know, now you're giving me advice and you don't even begin to know what you're talking about. Well, that's not going to help us get well. Can I just say something? Feeling sorry for yourself never helps you get better. Come on, do I need to say it again? I don't. Do you guys need it worse or you? Who wants it? Feeling sorry for yourself is just a waste of time. And I don't mean that like I don't care that you're hurting, but I've been there, done that. I wasted years sitting around feeling sorry for myself, and God finally said, you can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both, so take your pick. You give up the pity, God will give you power. You give up the ashes and he'll give you beauty. Amen. Hard hearts. People that are hard-hearted are quick to judge. They have a very difficult time showing mercy. They have a difficult time forgiving. And so the word can't really get into their hard hearts. Hard-hearted people are those with preconceived ideas due to things they believe and don't even know why they believe them. People who flip past Christian programming on television due to a preconceived idea, that's just a bunch of junk. Yep, there's another one of those preachers trying to get your money. These televangelists, you know, they're telling some widow to send them all their money and they're out living a high life. And which people have no idea. No, they don't even begin to have any idea what it takes to do something like what I'm doing. And it's, no, I don't do it perfect. And yes, I make mistakes, but, you know, at least I'm trying to do something. And, you know, most of the people who judge people that are doing something are the ones that are doing nothing except sitting around judging the people that are. You know, Elijah was a great prophet. And he lived by a brook where he was being supernaturally fed during a famine, and the brook dried up, and God sent him to a poor, depressed, seemingly suicidal widow. And you know what Elijah said to her? Give me something to eat and something to drink. And she said, I've only got enough oil and enough meal, enough in the jar for one meal for me and my son, and then we're going to eat it and die. And you know what that, I didn't have televisions, but if they would have had, he would have been a televangelist. You know what he said to her? Give me some first. Well, I wonder how that would have went over in the media today. Oh, boy. They may be basing their opinion on one or two bad stories that they've heard. And you know, there are people that are dishonest. But boy, don't get a cynical attitude about everybody because a few people have done something wrong. Some people get hard hearts because they've tried church, thinking they were trying God, and they happened to get into a wrong church that wasn't friendly or was judgmental, and so they get a hard heart against everything. Now, I'm going to talk to you for just a minute about the condition of our world today. And you know, the Bible says that in the last days, deception will increase to the point that if God would not have shortened the days for the sake of the very elect, no man could stand against the deception coming on the earth. Every day we need to pray that we will not be deceived. Don't think you're above it. Don't think it can't happen to you. To be deceived means to believe a lie. And I can tell you, every one of us, myself included, probably still in our life, there's some kind of lie that we're still believing that the devil's using to steal something from us that God wants us to have. And the only way that we can overturn that lie is by knowing the truth. Today, there is a humanistic agenda that is rampant in our society. And it's deceiving large numbers of people, even Christians. And humanism is simply centered on human interests or values. And I'll just say it. I usually say what I want to anyway, so, you know. A lot of Christians are just so selfish. All their prayers are selfish. They don't want to volunteer for anything. They want to be paid for every move they make. It's bad enough for an unbeliever to be self-centered, but it should not be that way with us. It's a philosophy that rejects supernaturalism or God and stresses an individual's dignity, worth, and capacity for self-realization through reasoning. Man, have I ever gotten myself in trouble in my life through reasoning. Woo. Or simply put, the humanist wants to eliminate God. That's what's going on in our society today. They're trying to get God out of everything concerning government and trying to get God out of our schools. Do you know our children are the future? And if they're successful in taking God completely away from them, what in the world is this place going to look like 50 years from now? I mean, we're in a very tedious place in our society today. Humanistic people don't want accountability. Now listen to this. They want to do what they feel like doing, not do what they don't feel like doing, and have someone else pay for their lack of discipline. Amen. Humanistic people are self-centered. They want immediate gratification and they feel entitled to have it. They want to run their own lives with no accountability. The main reason why they refuse to believe in God is because if they admit God exists, then they would need to follow his ways and commands. And frankly, they just want to do what they want to do. Let's talk about all the isms. And we'll start with evolutionism. No wonder people are sad. I mean, would you rather believe that you evolved from an ape or that a wonderful, amazing, all-loving God created you with his own hand for a purpose? And I'm sorry, I always make evolutionists mad when I say this, and I'm not trying to make you mad. Things do evolve and change, but it's God doing it. I don't know why we have to take God out of stuff. I watched a nature show recently, and it was about the island of Galapagos, if that's the way you say it. And, you know, that's where Darwin got his original idea about evolutionism. And basically, he saw things he couldn't understand. Well, if you're going to hang out with God, guess what? Welcome to the mystery. Because there's going to be a whole lot of stuff you're not going to understand. And instead of letting it bother you, you just need to say, wow. And so anyway, they were trying to figure out how this certain plant got on this island because it was not a plant that should have been there. And so they went through this ordeal about how across the ocean in this other part of the world, the wind picked up these seeds and blew them across the ocean, and they fell on this island, and over millions of years now we, and I'm like, you are giving me a headache. Why can't we just say God put it there? I mean, come on, Jesus said, you become like a little child if you're gonna hang out with me. That means I just believe it because God said it. Let's be like the little girl in school whose teacher was trying to tell them that there was no way that God drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea because it was only 6 inches deep. And the little girl said, wow, that's amazing. God drowned all those people in 6 inches of water. See, if you believe like a little child, everything amazes you. Now let me tell you what a theory is. A theory, defined, taken from a variety of sources, is a guess or a speculation. An idea, I love this, it's an idea used to justify a course of action. In other words, I want to do this, and so I'm going to come up with a theory that makes it okay for me to do it. That's why we've got to have some truth. And so the world today says there is no absolute truth. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God is absolute truth. How can anything be truth if we all get to make up our own? No wonder the world is confused. My gosh. And they have all these experts. I love that. The experts say, you know what? You know more than most of the experts do. Oh, and by the way, you know what a philosopher is? A thinker. Well, hey, I got that one down, Pat. I mean, I am a chief philosopher. Hardness of heart develops from being hurt, not allowing God to heal the pain. It can also come from the reception of too many worldly ideas, especially if a person has none of God's word to offset the rest of what they hear. I feel sorry for people who watch television and don't know the Word of God. I mean, if the television said if you're your educator, you are in deep trouble. I can watch television, it's just automatic. I know what's a lie, I know what's truth, I know what's right, I know what's wrong. Watching too much of the news can give you a hard heart. Let me tell you something. Everything in the news is bad. But look at me. There are more good things going on in this world than there are bad ones. We just don't hear about them. Come on. Another thing that'll give you a hard heart is allowing yourself to stay angry. Please, please, please don't stay mad at people. Do what God asks you to and forgive quickly and forgive often. Refuse to live your life bitter and resentful. The shallow, stony ground is like believers who have no real depth. You know, they got it underlined in their Bible, but there's no roots in their life. They kind of sort of know that God loves them until they have a problem, then they wonder if God loves them. But when you're rooted and grounded in the love of God, no matter what happens, you never say, "Well, God, don't you love me?" We need to be rooted and grounded in what we believe. And I mean, no, I believe it, and no devil is ever going to take it away from me. Amen. A shallow Christian lives by what he feels and what he sees and what he thinks. And then the seed that fell among thorns, and that would be about a four-part series. So it's just basically letting all the worry. It says the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. So you got to make your mind up if you want to be in the world or in the kingdom. You can be in the world, but you can't let it be in you. Amen. Matter of fact, God wants us in the world, but he wants us behaving the way Jesus did so we can be a light to the world and they can change. And so many other things that are just wonderful that I don't have time to talk about. Distractions. Yeah, preach. You can be distracted 25 times a day just from the beeps and dings on your telephone. Listen, I don't like when I'm writing, I really try to get in a place where nobody can find me, or, you know, I'll say ahead of time, okay, I'm going to be writing, so if you walk through the room, don't talk to me. And the reason is when I'm writing, I mean, I really get into it, and it's like I'm living it, and if somebody comes by and asks me some non-essential question that they didn't have to ask me, it takes me a long time to get back into the place where I was. Well, listen to this. The experts say that if you're really focused on something and you completely lose your focus, the experts say it takes 23 minutes and 15 seconds to refocus. Be the good soil that the word can be planted in your heart. Let's stop reading just to feel proud of ourselves that we read another book. I mean, if you can read fast and actually absorb what you read and remember it, then go for it. But most of us don't. You know, it's kind of like skimming over the top of it. And in these study books, or say like in Colossians, I may have 100 references in there. Like I'll make a statement and then I might give two or three scriptures that would back that up. But I don't write those out because I don't have the room. It's kind of like a Christian writer needs to back up what they're saying with the word. And so we'll give references but not print out everything. Well, nobody ever looks that stuff up. Well, good. Yay. Awesome. But I'm suggesting in here that people not only that they take their time, and when they come across something that touches them, they need that they stop and just spend all the time that they need, but also get your Bible out and look up every one of those references and read it. If you will do that, by the time you get to the end of these study books, you're going to know Ephesians. You're going to know Colossians. you're going to have gotten some revelation, but it's going to take a little bit of effort. Uh-oh, dirty word. Let's remember this scripture as we close. The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you again.
Opening a package is always exciting, especially one that's filled with today's offer. You'll receive step-by-step how to study God's Word, along with the Everyday Life Psalms and Proverbs. Whether you've been reading the Bible for years or you're brand new to it all, it's always the right time to learn how to dive deep into God's Word and truly study it. This booklet teaches you how to prepare, apply, and live out God's Word with Joyce's practical teaching. It also contains these beautiful scripture cards that you can use to memorize the Word and keep it in your heart. Both the booklet and the scripture cards are also available digitally. The Everyday Life Psalms and Proverbs is beautifully bound and includes new insights and commentary from Joyce that will inspire you and empower you to change your thoughts and your life. Both resources are available for your gift of $25 or more. Use the Joyce Meyer Ministries app or go to joycemeyer.org or call us at 1-800-709-2895.
I had this expectation that I could go into marriage and still be that fiercely independent person.
Yeah.
And marriage is all about becoming one flesh. Yeah. You know, it's all about compromise.
Eventually I said, "Do you not find me attractive?" And he said, he was crying, I was crying. And he said, "No, I don't."
Join us and see what everybody's talking about at joycemeyer.org/talkitout.
In our world today, there's an epidemic of anxiety. There's so much coming against us, and for many, it's causing not just worry, but an overwhelming and frightening state of panic. There are keys to dealing with this, and I want to help you use God's Word to fight and win the battle for inner peace. My book, The Answer to Anxiety, will help you through the process of eliminating tormenting thoughts and replacing them with the peace that passes all understanding.
Joyce Meyer's The Answer to Anxiety. Order now.
I've been a partner of Joyce Meyer Ministries for 5 years.
6 months.
20 years.
Since about 2008, I have had panic attacks in the car. Joyce's podcast helps me start my day right and get to work.
I just love that Joyce is very matter of fact. She just speaks from her heart. She tells stories that, are very relatable.
She's taught me how to be a Christian. I knew how to be a sinner, but I didn't know how to be a Christian. She's just made a huge difference in my life.
6 months ago, I was like, you know what? Joyce has done so much for me. I'll start partnering with her.
A couple of years ago, I said, well, I need to start giving back and not just taking. And I know that it goes more than just to the TV ministry. It goes all around the world.
When I give what little bit of money that I'm able to give, then she takes that and does something bigger and better with it. Just do it.
I think it is important for people to realize that everything you do, including life, is a journey. And you have seasons, and you have stages of growth, and you have dormant seasons, and you have planting seasons, and you have harvest seasons, and you have seasons of digging up fallow ground. And so there's a lot of different seasons in our life. We have to learn how to navigate all of those.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.